Okay. All right. So I was talking about this experience I was having of quantum healing. And when I was speaking to David about what was going on with my father, when he was, you know, really going through a difficult time, and he said something in a, I asked him on a retreat, and he said, you know, how wondrous the healing of the mind must be, and I'm paraphrasing, when it becomes not of bodies, when it becomes transpersonal, you know, above personhood. And that's the healing that we're opening to. So it's like stepping back from appearances into the stillness, into the rest, which is totally against what we've learned, because everything is about going out. The mind is so trained to go out, right? To fix this, to move this, to get this. But it's like now that doesn't seem to work in many situations, or that doesn't seem to be enough because the needs are just multiplying. And so, you know, the Course says every choice you make, either you join and create truth or join with the truth, or you multiply illusions, right? And so it's saying here, the world is born again each time you rest, and hourly remember that you came to bring the peace of God into the world. So this is about us having everything we need and connecting with it and extending it, as opposed to we have to take. We have to take, we don't have, we don't have. But it's like that peace of God takes care of our needs as well. So it's not sacrifice, you know? So this is really beautiful because it's giving us our purpose. And then you rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers from your rest to draw them to their rest along with you. You will be faithful to your trust today, forgetting no one, bringing everyone into the boundless circle of your peace, the holy sanctuary where you rest. Open the temple doors and let them come from far across the world and near as well. Your distant brothers and your closest friends, bid them all enter here and rest with you. So I really felt like this lesson helped me to really understand what that mountain image was, that it wasn't a distraction. It wasn't like, okay, I'm feeling worried and so this will relax me, but then there isn't a healing. You know, it was like taking me down to the roots of here is the solution. And we've been talking about that, that the problem and the solution are really right together in the mind. So the asking happens and the answer comes. The asking happens and the answer comes. And it's really beautiful because we can take heart in the power of a still mind. You know, how powerful a still mind. And I attended a conference, ACIM conference in New York City. I think it was probably 2015. And I remember David Hoffmeister was there and he was presenting, but then, you know, the presenters would attend other conference presenters and all of that. And I had this happen like maybe twice or three times. I was sitting and then it was just, I was just listening. And then I would look and like David was sitting next to me or two seats down. And it was like such a quietness from him. Like you just didn't even know he was there, yet more than him was there. I can't, you know, it was like that. It was like that stillness that he brought in that, like, you know, it says, take the peace of God with you wherever you go. Like that peace of God was there. And it would be uncanny. I would be like looking around. I'm like, when did he come? I didn't even feel that. And yet the presence, you know, that presence. So, that presence, I feel when I think about my mighty companions in my mind and I just bring them into my mind, I connect with them. And Spirit gives me whatever answers I need. And if I am to connect, like let's say it's a Zoom call or a text or whatever, then that's fine. That will happen. But it's like we're being really asked to like let ourselves experience a way of connecting that defies the laws of the world. And to just let those miracles, you know, in the other section, I think it talks about in the little garden, if you have time, you know, chapter 18, section 8, is talking about when we're just aware of the body, right? And here I'm a physician, so I totally 30 years plus being trained, you know, 35 years in the awareness of the body. And that is your goal, to heal the body. So I feel like, you know, this is really my mind continuing to be undone, unwound, you know, unwound from this way of thinking. It says that it's like when you focus on the body, this section in the text teaches that it's like you took the littlest droplet of an ocean and made it the whole ocean, or made it actually separate from the ocean. Like you thought that's all it is, and you forgot that it came from that ocean. Right. And then here's this little droplet trying to like, I'm going to make a life in this world, and I'm going to get my act together, and I'm going to, you know, find a partner, and I'm going to get the good house, and I'm going to get the good bank balance, and I'm going to get a good job, and I'm going to blah, 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 add on to it. Right. You know, mix in a little sports and a little football, a little this and a little that. Right. So it's funny. You have to laugh at it. You have to laugh at it. Right. So it says, you know, in the course, you don't ask for too much, you ask for too little. The other comparison that Jesus gives in the course is it's like a little sunbeam, tiny, tiny sunbeam, forgetting that it came from the sun. Now, the sun doesn't forget the sunbeam. The ocean doesn't forget the droplet. It doesn't see it as separate. It's like the prodigal son. The father never saw the son as not in his heart, not, you know, he just held that space of love, hoping that he was going to be okay and come back. But the prodigal son had his own experiences. So it's like we become that separate, isolated, fragmented version, you know, like a facsimile, right? Like a version of ourself. And then something in life happens that cracks it. And when that happens, we might feel like, wow, like this is bad. Right? This is bad. But it's sometimes that crack through which, you know, like in Rumi says, it's through the, how does it go? Through your wounds or your cracks that the light can enter for the healing. So it says when you're identifying with the body, it's like you're putting this fence around, and you're keeping all of eternal, all of God, all of that outside and just here. And then when that identification tries to have a relationship with another one, with that identification, you can imagine all the issues that are going to come up, right? Because the whole premise is a false foundation. So in this section, yeah, it says, and so then what happens is then the ego becomes the master of this little kingdom. The ego says, this is my kingdom. This little speck is my kingdom. This is my kingdom. And then it sets its own rules and it sets its own ways of thinking. And so it's just, you have to laugh at it because it's like saying, you know, like the mountain, like let's be in that mountain space. So I'm just going to read a little phrase from here. The thought of God surrounds your little kingdom, waiting at the barrier you built to come inside and shine upon the barren ground. See how life springs up everywhere. And I was looking at Barbara, and she had all the, you know, the flowers and the plants behind her. So, see how life springs up everywhere. The desert becomes a garden, green and deep and quiet, offering rest to those who lost their way and wander in the dust. Give them a place of refuge prepared by love for them, where once a desert was. And everyone you welcome will bring love with him from heaven for you. They enter one by one into this holy place, but they will not depart as they had come alone. The love they brought with them will stay with them as it will stay with you. And under its beneficence, your little garden will expand and reach out to everyone who thirsts for living water, but has grown too weary to go alone. Go out and find them, for they bring yourself with them, and lead them gently to your quiet garden and receive their blessing there. So will it grow and stretch across the desert, leaving no lonely little kingdoms locked away from love and leaving you inside. And you will recognize yourself and see your little garden gently transformed into the kingdom of heaven with all the love of its creator shining upon it. So that portion and that lesson just seemed to just beautifully go so well together with opening to this space and offering it to everyone. So let's enter into a space of stillness and let's come together for an experience, and then we can open it up for a sharing. Okay. All right. So just let yourself be comfortable. Let yourself be easy. Let yourself know that in our asking and our beautiful joining, we have invited the beloved, and the beloved is here. Let yourself take a nice, easy breath in the way that feels most comfortable to you. Let yourself feel expanded. And if there's any area in your body that seems to require a little extra attention, let your breath, let your awareness be there. There is no pushing or pulling or forcing or making anything happen. Just letting ourselves relax into the arms of the beloved. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing to make happen, nothing to fix, nothing to analyze or change or even understand right now. Once again, letting your breath move in the way that feels most comfortable to you. We are all children of the beloved, gathered here, bringing all of us into this space. No need to hide anything, pretend anything. Feeling the strength of these strong arms of the beloved holding us. This floor that is endless. This container that is deep and broad enough for everyone and everything. And if there is a person, an event, a situation that seems to come to mind, invite it here. Allow it to enter with you. We are not the healers. We are here to receive the healing. Know the peace and let it flow through us. We are not the fixers, and we're not really even in need of fixing because we're not broken. But we may have forgotten. Let the beloved remind us of our truth that has never changed. The love that is more ancient, more deeper than any mountain. The love that can seem to be hidden, but can never be destroyed. The light that can seem to be covered over, but has never gone out. An eternal flame within our hearts that cannot go out no matter what. We may have ideas and concepts and stories about ourselves, our lives, our situations, our relationships. And that is okay. We believe what we believe. The beloved is saying, look here. Come look at this. Let me show you. Step back, step away. Let me show you what is true. Let me show you a way of seeing that will bring gladness to your heart, rest to your weary mind. And comfort to your heart. Let yourself listen to the stillness. Let your heart expand. Breath be deeper. Let yourself rest. Let us extend this rest to all, no one excluded. Those we know, those we don't. Knowing all is one. Thank you. Namaste. Shanti, shanti, shanti. So if you feel in the vibe to just, you know, be quiet, it's totally okay. And if you feel to share or express, just let me know. Okay, I see Hazel.
Good morning.
Morning, Hazel.
Morning. Hello, Sima and everyone. I'm not feeling that calmness. I just need to express that. How much healing has occurred at these past 20 days has just been quite phenomenal. There's just been so much that has arisen, and I do acknowledge, Sima, your the leadership and the guidance that you have channeled has just been extraordinarily impactful, and I just feel so grateful for all that you have guided us through, and just acknowledge your capacity to hold this space for us. Thank you so much. Really, thank you so much. I am just forever grateful for you having been my teacher, our teacher. And today I did not want to get out of bed. I just wanted to stay there. And I also feel that, I think it's just the resistance to to allowing the expansiveness to continue. There was a sense to just kind of want to contract and withdraw. And I think mostly what I'm feeling is extreme gratitude. And I haven't quite let it come to this, just like sobbing, just really wanting to sob deeply with gratitude. That hasn't quite, it's just on the verge. And what happens with completion, and I acknowledge that this platform is completing to some extent, and so that there's a fear of, well, what will I do next, and will, because I've relied on this so heavily. And it's a fear of letting go and what's next. And I just want to also express my gratitude to everyone that has joined, and directly and indirectly. And I'm just willing to allow for that to keep opening and to keep turning that over to the guidance. And the biggest piece for me, I think, has been just listening and following. And the ego will come up to want to, interfere. I just have to keep going past that. And so these last couple of weeks, we have listed our house, put our house on the market. And so there's been a lot of movement with that, despite the corona that's been occurring. And, so I acknowledge that it is tremendous letting go. It's a tremendous transformational step for releasing that which no longer serves. And we still have a $300,000 mortgage remaining on the home, and decided that it just doesn't serve us to maintain the property, so we put it on the market, and we have a fairly strong offer that we're waiting till 6 o'clock today for it to materialize. And we've also been looking for another home all of this week. It's just been, it's been intense. There's just been so much movement. And, you know, with my children and, with Easter coming up, Easter is a highly transformational time on the planet for all of us. And, you know, with the crucifixion and now the resurrection is just like on our heels. This Sunday, you know, is the resurrection. And, I know that, you know, we all to the extent that, you know, we're all in it together with the healing that's occurring. So I just want to put this out on the table and go, I haven't resurrected just yet. I'm still in the process of moving into that wholeness of, you know, the mountain. We live in the mountains here in British Columbia. We are in the mountains. The mountains are all around us here, British Columbia, the West Coast, you know, this, all these mountain ranges. And every other day I climb the mountain just near our house where I find the stillness. Yesterday, that's where I went because there was noise. There's cranes, there's trees coming down, there's construction happening, but I found a place of stillness on the backside of the mountain, which was just so beautiful. And then I come back down into the busy mind and all the activity that's happening. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything. And just very grateful to you and the platform and to the Holy Spirit and just everyone, all the mighty companions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hazel, because, you know, we've all been allowing things to move through and it's for everyone. And so you've been always so, you know, just so forthcoming with what's been going through you and sharing it. And I know everyone on the call has received the benefits of that. So thank you. Thank you. You know, we're mighty companions to each other. Thank you. Yeah, Graham.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me? Yes. It's difficult to know exactly how to put it, but I've been really interested in the recognition of this conflict between, you know, the particular, you know, like praying for or sending healing to a particular person or as Hofmeister said, you know, situation, and not bearing in mind the sort of the global sort of side to it, you know. So I send healing to, I mean, I've been concerned with my daughter who is actually showing signs of improvement. She was much better today, but you see, I don't really want the. I recognize that my peace of mind is very much, can be very much tied up with the results. And I looked after both my parents because they lived to a great age and I was looking after them quite a lot. They were quite histrionic, although they lived, you know, to be quite old, well into their late 90s. And, my peace of mind, I used to remember, my peace of mind was always contingent on how they were doing. So a friend of mine would say, how are you, Graham? And I'd say, oh, well, my parents are doing quite well today. And they would say, no, how are you? You know, I know this is kind of mundane stuff, but it's making that crossover and to seeing things in a more global way. To see, I mean, like with our prime minister at the moment, who's sick, as probably it's world news, and it's seeing the individual problem and then relating it to the much wider problem of all men. And it just came to me that also that by, if I can, it's the recognition, I think, of this conflict might be an important thing for me. I'm not sure, but it's, I can't expect, you know, to become like a Zen master where I am free. You know, I'm not the Buddha. I can't be completely free of the world. And maybe being free of the world is not it's not the answer. Maybe it's being involved in the world and at the same time being free. And yet, And yet it may be by recognizing one person, I am actually recognizing all people, because we are, you know, and the Advaita, you know, the sort of non-dualistic way that we are all one self, so we are all one being, really. So that's the thoughts that have been sparked off. I thank you very much for what you said, Seema, and for the meditation, and it sparked off quite a lot in me and brought together quite a lot of thoughts that have been like scattered around. So thank you, finding it very, very helpful and interesting. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful what you said, Graham, and I totally resonate with what you said about in one we can see the all, in all there's one. So I feel like it's a dance, and at different times we seem to play a different part, and we can't judge it. We can just sort of listen and follow and see what's guided, and just continue to listen and follow and see what's guided. And, you know, it's just being used, you know, just being used. So it's beautiful when there's a one-on-one, if we were to say that. I sometimes have done sessions one-on-one, and I know there's been such deep healing that it's just been received by the whole. I just know it, you know, but it seemed to be one person and one person, you know, and sometimes no one is around and it feels that way. So I think we're all being like you're saying, these things are percolating, and wherever we are, you know, spirit's going to take us to whatever is our expansion, right? That's the word, expansion, whatever that means. Whatever that means. So I'm totally joined with you that it is a reinterpretation of healing, and what does healing look like, and at the same time, it's not a call to be unengaged or uninvolved, or, you know, in spiritual bypass or be in our silos. I think it's totally the opposite. It's such a deep, but it's almost like the connection. Is where is the connection coming from? That's what it feels like, you know, like where is that coming from? So yeah, thank you. Cause I totally resonate with everything you shared. Thank you. Yep. Barbara. It's Barbara in Rochester. Okay. And then Mary, Mary Straub. Yeah.
Somehow I didn't realize today was our last time together, so I'm feeling sad about that.
We have one more day tomorrow. We're here tomorrow.
Oh, okay. That meditation did take me to a deeper level, and I also feel like a call to being quiet. I mean, not that I've been out doing things, but there's different levels of quiet. And I think it has a lot to do with Holy Week, which is a very important spiritual time to me. And I just appreciate the time together. The other thing, especially when we got into this social distancing, I've considered this like a retreat. So the sessions have been really a part of my retreat. You know, you've been a retreat director, and people sharing has been very, very good. So it's been a blessed time. It truly has. And I just thanking God, thanking you especially, and thanking the group. I think it's been a very blessed time. Namaste. Thank you. To all.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Mary Straub, yeah.
Thank you, Seema, for today. I think you have helped me to you've shared what's been in my heart and mind about this inner peace, and the I love that you shared about David and his, you know, he's our teacher, and what it is in him that heals and uplifts. And it's this quiet knowing. And he always says, I haven't had a bad day in 30 years. And people go, that's not even possible. And he's like, well, what is a bad day? You know, it's like, there have been things that have apparently gone wrong in the outer world, but the spirit is so flowing in him in that peaceful place that he doesn't see it as anything wrong. And I remember in his book, there was a story about him and a taxi driver in some country, you probably could remember, where the taxi driver said, I'm sorry for our pollution. You know, that's not good. I hate that you're having to come into our pollution. I apologize for our pollution. And David said, I love your pollution. He said, I'm joined with it. And I just could not get that. I was like, I want to get this. Because how do you join with pollution? It's like, what does that mean? How do you join with pollution? And yeah. And so it's just kind of been on my altar. It's like, what is, you know, I know that has some power for me, but I don't know what it is. But this virus, this opportunity of being in stillness and being isolated with God. And with, you know, it's like, I get to spend so much time, like Barbara just expressed, this has been a retreat. You know, it's a gift that's come from this, and it's been so beautiful that a lot of us are being guided to things that, you know, like Hazel selling her house, you know, it's like, what's going on here? And it's just having that inner following. It's just like, it's an opportunity more than ever to follow guidance and to let spirit lead the way. And so yesterday, another thing that's been given in this time is Kirsten Buxton is reading her book, I Married a Mystic, which is her story of marriage with David. And it's so powerful. And so I was listening to it yesterday. She read chapter 2 yesterday. And oh, my heart just flowed. It was just so powerful. She was describing David. She said living with David, because it ended up moving into the peace house with him in Cincinnati, and she's from New Zealand. And so she moves here, and she said, you know, just, it's like he does all the normal things, but nothing is normal. He's, you know, he's up at 3 a.m. and he's counseling. He's writing people, and but he's at the same time feeding the cats and doing everything that it takes a whole community to do. He just does it gently and easily. And so it's like, what is it in David that I'm, I'm feeling. And so I'm sitting there and I'm just feeling this peace come over me. And then it goes from, I'm watching it on YouTube. And then it goes from that to one of David's talks. And in this talk, he says, it's the Dreamer of the Dream retreat. And he was talking about the dream perspective. And he said, forgiveness is awareness of dreaming. And I got it. I was like, wow. I get it. That's what, you know, it's like, when I recognize pollution as it's not out there, it's in my mind, I'm aware that I'm dreaming the pollution. It's not real. It's just, it's my dream, and I can be grateful for it. And so I started thinking, I was like, okay, I'm aware of dreaming that I seem to have some issues with my husband and the way he thinks, or my daughter and her fear. Wow. When I'm aware that, you know, and it's like I also thought of what came to me is also in this was the course teaching that everything you are receiving and is coming to you, you have asked for and you are getting exactly as you have asked. And I could see that I was getting exactly what I was asking for. I'm getting what I wanted. I didn't think it's what I wanted. But awareness of dreaming, I don't know, it's something, it's a forgive, it's a way to, for me to forgive, because I can put it on the altar. This is what I wanted. I'm aware of it. It's a dream. And so anyway, today, my lesson was from the course of following along with the daily thing was, I will accept my part in God's plan for salvation. And I was, as I was reading this, I felt this immense joy, this immense upliftment. And then I went back and went through, it's like, there's something about this one. And it, and I started counting, and the time, the times that either the word glad, a part, some form of the word glad, joy, or happiness was mentioned 11 times in today's lesson, 11 times. And I really am getting, you know, ever since Maria Felipe, she said, live your happy. And I resonated with that so strongly. And she described it as live as the light of the world, no compromises, live the awakening, live the course, step into the happy, no compromises, exceptions, or excuses. And I read that every day because that is my part. That's my part, is to live my happy. And it's just coming to me. It's just like, but I can't, it's like, I can't, I'm not happy in ego, because I'm too focused on there's something wrong. There's something wrong that my daughter's fearful and I am not living my, I can't be happy when she's not happy. Well, I can be like David. One thing I've noticed, when David listens to people share, they can go into the most horrible situations, like, what is he going to say this time? And he never goes there. He just always is, oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, that's so beautiful. It's like, David, was that beautiful? Well, to him it was, because he's only joining them in the awareness of the dream, the reality of it. It's like he's so clear that it's not real, but he knows that they're not. And so he just loves them through it. And that's what I want to embrace in me, is the happiest, the love. It's just the pure love. The true happiness is live my love and let it flow through me as the light of the world. And that's enough. It's enough. There's nothing. And that's how I can rest in God now. It's like, I don't have to do anything but rest in God. I don't have to get out there and save anybody. I don't have to save my kids, my daughter. You know, if the coronavirus, and David described the coronavirus in this last retreat as the light. He said, coronum is a halo. And he said, you know, and then he said to me, oh, look at this picture. He said, Mary, when he answered my question, it was what he said after my question. It was not even about, like, my question was already answered, and so it was fine. But he says, look at the halo that's arising around you. That's what I'm feeling in you. And I was like, that's it. That's it. It's the, that's, you know, this is a metaphor for spirits coming through. And yeah, it's just live my happy. And I just feel so grateful, and grateful to you and to this group for being a part of all this, because it's been given to me exactly as I have asked. I am a person who is uplifted by other people. But I notice that I'm down, I can be go down when I join them in their pain. And so the upliftment, it's like I'm getting to see in this group that I don't have, they're not asking, you know, they're releasing their pain, and I'm getting to love that too, and love that everybody feels comfortable enough to be real and know they're loved and trusted, and that you can hold that place, Seema, as a facilitator of this group. And I just had to share that, because I just feel so much joy arising, and it's not, you know, it's there, the, but, and the gift of, I release so much fear, because in the first part of this group, I couldn't stop crying. And I felt so much fear arising and so much emotion. And it was coming up to be let go of. And then to see, feel the awareness. Oh, it's all, it's awareness that I'm the dreamer. This is just a movie playing out. I'm just dreaming it. And it's so beautiful. I'm loving this dream. It's just, it's a beautiful dream. Yeah. So thank you all. Thank you, Seema. I love you.
Thank you. Love you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Chris?
Yeah. Hi, guys. That was really beautiful, Mary. Thank you. I'm also following Kristen's reading of the book and enjoying it. I find it very soothing as well. But yesterday's lesson was definitely a bit I have some sticking points around her discussion of, like Mary mentioned the pollution, and Kristen had mentioned David, like, not being religious about recycling, and I'm, like, kind of fanatical. And I have been for, you know, my whole adult life. And also being kind of somewhat fanatical about food and like what kind of food I eat and eating very cleanly. I was actually very close to being a vegan, before this all hit. I was still having honey and the baking with the occasional, pasture raised egg. But now I can't access some of the, you know, it's hard to get graham or lentils or beans or, you know, vegetable protein all of a sudden. So I have had to be flexible with that. And I'm aware of the, you know, I need to allow that to be what it is and just flow with it and not be attached. But at the same time, there's still, just the thought of like eating whatever I want, whatever I think is yummy, and being aware of my body's past reactions when I have done that, you know, that's really challenging for me. And I'm wondering if Seema, you have any thoughts or anybody has any David or someone else's lectures that might help me to suggest. But yeah, those are two big ones. Still, thank you.
Yeah. So, if you think about pollution and food in very concrete terms, then there'll always be a pro this and an anti this and a, you know what I mean? There'll always be like one side or many sides. So the first easy step, like, might be just around the food, because you're being forced to kind of not be able to eat the ones you would like to eat, right? So right now, like, the situation is such that you need to step into it. Is what are your ideas about food? Just to, because it's like, remember we talked about yesterday that we assume we know the problem and then we know the solution and then we get all twisted. We get all twisted, right? So it might just be like, let me just sit with myself and write out, what do I think is good food? What do I feel is healthy food? And what do I feel is unhealthy food? And just, you know, be with spirit. I know Kristen, I haven't gotten a chance to listen to her recordings, but I've read part of her book, and I know she's really big about talking about journaling and really using that as a way to access. And so the levels of mind would be a great way to just work through that. Right. Because the perception is food and different food, you know, choices. the perception is recycling and different ways to recycle or not recycle, right? So it's all perception. And then we're trying to find a solution on perception at that level, but the solution won't be found there. That will just create a sense of like separation and a sense of contraction and even like a debate, like a conflict, right? So you want to go beneath it because there's more underneath food than meets the eye. There's more underneath, Roshi Philip Kaplow, who founded our local Rochester Zen Center. Some of you might be aware of that. So I remember him saying this or hearing it in a Tay show, the greatest poison lies in the human mind. I would say that the greatest poison is in the human mind. So, my son is an environmental activist, and we have these discussions and we're like, this is great. I say to him, you're the outer activist and I'm the inner activist. You know, I'm here to help the inner, you know, pollution, so to speak, and you're doing the outer. So it's perfect. But I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? What if we said we eat clean, right? I heard that expression, we eat clean. And so no one is asking anyone, be very careful when you feel any sense of needing to change how you do things. You don't have to change how you recycle. You don't have to change how you eat. You know, obviously now circumstances are shifting it. That's different. So, mm-hmm. So don't feel ever that you need to make a shift. There was one person, and I interviewed David about this because he was like studying the course and he was like, okay, I don't need medicine. It's all spirit. And he stopped taking like heart medicine and blood pressure medicine. And he got really sick and he was hospitalized. And, you know, David came to visit him and he said, what happened? What happened? He said, yeah, that's, but it wasn't guidance. It wasn't guidance. It was the ego pretending to be guidance informed. Right.
Thank you.
So I think
just answered another question.
Okay. Yeah. So I feel see this as an inner exploration that Chris is going to go on to understand Chris in this area of her life, and don't take off too much. Just stay with the food right now. You know, if something doesn't make sense, it's all good. Don't stop that inner sense that drew you to these teachings. And like, I remember you said something in the retreat. I don't know if this is the path for me, but it feels like the right path for now. Right. I think you wrote that somewhere. Right. So just trust that inner knowing, and then ask spirit to walk with you to look at those beliefs, these thoughts. What are the beliefs? What's the desire? And let's see what you find. You know, you just might find things that cannot be revealed at just talking about, you know, food choices. So that might be an entry point.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Ema?
Yes, Joe. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share what's going on with my path here, because some of you may remember I've been focusing on connecting with my heart's desire. And I've had a kind of a profound morning. And I think it actually started probably last night. Some young woman called me and she wanted to have a long distance healing. And so before I entered into that frame of mind, I really wanted to kind of be a clear channel for divine love. And so I went to that place in my mind that has that desire for the peace of God. And I kind of looked at that and I says, well, to be pure, I need to scrub away everything, all my other desires, and have only the desire for the peace of God. And so I kind of like released those last little fragments of things that were distracting me from focusing only on the desire for the peace of God. And so then we had the long distance healing. And, it was late at night. Not long after that, I went to bed. this morning I woke up and it was like unbelievable gratitude. I was kind of like, I felt like I was like swimming in gratitude. And I was so grateful. I was thanking God. I was thanking Jesus. I was thanking the Holy Spirit. I was thanking the archangels. I was thanking everybody in this group. I was thanking all my friends, all my family. I was thanking everybody in the world. It was just like, and I probably said thank you like 1,000 times, okay? Because every time I would think of someone or something, I would thank it. And so I thought, that's kind of strange. I've never had that feeling before, but it was just like total gratitude. And then the next thing that happened was that I kind of like checked on my inner deep desire. And the desire wasn't there anymore. The desire for the peace of God was replaced by the knowing that I am the peace of God. And it was like this major shift in like, because up until that moment, I was always thinking like, if I truly desire the peace of God, what will this world look like?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, once I was given this knowing, it didn't matter what the world looks like anymore. Whatever the world looks like, the peace of God is going to always be with me now. And so that was a surprise, because I didn't expect it to work that way, because I expected that my desire was going to change the world, mm-hmm. but the world doesn't have to change, because when you are in this changeless place of the peace of God, it's like nothing can shake it.
Yeah.
And what I also realize is that when I am in this place of the peace, that I am the peace of God, I recognize that the I am statement came into that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't I desire the peace of God. I am the peace of God. And within that knowing, all my other desires are fulfilled. Because my other desires were, I desire pure joy. I desire happiness. And I desire rest. Okay. And I just felt like in this place of gratitude, there was just total rest. There was nothing that I felt like I had to do.
Yeah.
I just had to be, I am the peace of God. And all these other things that I've been chasing of joy and happiness, I realized that once you accept who you are in truth, these things are already there waiting for you. And it was transformational. And so I would like to thank you and everybody here, because I really believe that if this coronavirus thing didn't happen, I would have never taken the time, because I have time now. Mm-hmm. But for the past, I don't know, 4 weeks, I haven't really worked on the outside, but I'm focused on the inside. I've done all the inside stuff. And it's one of these things where that is the blessing here. The blessing was time to do this work, time for me to make that final step of the realization of the truth and joining with that truth and being that truth. And so now it's like, I'm excited because I'm finally getting to remember who I am. Up till this point, it's always been kind of theoretical. It's always been kind of like, you know, saying I am,
this or I am that. But now it's like there's a deep knowing. And it was given to me when I was able to scrub out all the other something else's in my desire. When I solely desired the peace of God, it was given. And it was such a beautiful moment that I just felt like I wanted to share that with everyone.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe, for sharing that. It's so beautiful. It's so, every word you said, just really can feel it. Thank you. Okay, so it looks like we're at time. So I'm just gonna we'll be meeting tomorrow, and tomorrow actually we're gonna have my friend Sean. He's gonna play some live music for us. So we're gonna have some just inspiring, you know, how can I say it? Inspirational songs that come from that space, that I am space, and so that's gonna be a treat. And really, I'm feeling guided to just really keep it very open tomorrow for us to kind of like our party. We're just going to talk and share and, you know, celebrate this joining. And then also just I've been having some thoughts about what could look like a ways for us to continue. And I'm going to just sit with Spirit with that. And I'm open, you know, for others also. So it's just really going to be us just joining. You know, it's going to really be listening to some music and sharing. Perhaps we'll do a meditation as well, you know, something like that, a prayer. So we'll, you know, we'll see each other tomorrow, and I'm just gonna unmute everyone here. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Kirsten's reading has just started, so goodbye. I love you guys.
Thank you. Bye, Mary. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye. Beautiful. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.